Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Back on Rutherford Issues here on WGNS, 1037 on this Wednesday, the 30th of October. We are getting closer and closer to Election Day. We're going to talk about some of those things with Secretary of State Trey Hargett, who joins us in studio here this morning, along with State Representative Mike Sparks, kind of touring District 49 today with Secretary of State Mike.
Yeah, we hit a few places in Laverne, Smyrna. Well, we're on our way to Laverne after this, and Laverne Rotary, Grace Community Church, is hosting their Laverne Rotary Club. Just went to Limbaugh Library, Rita Shacklett showed us around, and a lot of good things going on over there.
Absolutely. It's Laverne Senior Center, I think, coming up today as well. So, Secretary of State, I guess you know that when you're with Mike, he's going to drag you around every nook and cranny, huh?
I know that whenever I come and visit Mike that we're going to work hard that day.
It's a hard workout, isn't it? It's good to have you back here in studio. A lot going on, of course, with Election Day around the corner. I guess that takes a lot of your attention during this time of the year.
Well, it certainly does. You know, as of yesterday, we have surpassed, well, when we started yesterday's early voting, we were 1,000 people short of being over a million early voters. Now, I don't have the final numbers from yesterday. We know that we've surpassed 1 million early voters. So, you know, voter turnout is strong. It especially seems to be strong in the western part of the state. There's some highly contentious state house races, a state senate race over in northwest Tennessee. So turnout tends to be high. And also, you know, you have a very hot presidential campaign right now. So people really are getting out and exercising their right to vote. And I would encourage people, you know, if you're Republican, you're Democrat, you don't have a party at all, go and exercise your right to vote, because that's the way that you have a direct impact on who leads your community, your state, and your national government.
I want to pose this question to you because I got into a discussion with someone not too long ago that said they were going to vote in the presidential race, but that's the only time that they go and vote. And to me, when you're voting for county mayor, county commission, those offices, those directly affect you maybe more so than, or they do, yes. I think, yes. Affect you more so than when you vote for president. Voter turnout was a measly 10 to 12% in some of our local elections, and this may be 30. That's still not very good. What can encourage voting?
Well, you know, unfortunately, people don't hear the good news a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people tend to vote out of anger a lot of times when they're upset, and they say, well, now I'm going to go vote somebody out of office. So I was trying to vote somebody into office. So that's regrettable. You know, here in Rutherford County, you all have a long history of a lot of good people, both sides of the aisle, who have been leaders throughout this community. And, you know, you need to get out and support the good ones so they can continue to do the positive things they've done. But, you know, I tell people all the time, vote at those local races because that's the person who determines the law enforcement in your area. You know, you can vote in those county commission races. They determine what your property tax is. They determine how your tax dollars are being spent. Mm-hmm. Vote for your local school board races. They're determining the future of your children by how they run the schools. And so you're exactly right. A lot of times people think, well, I'm going to vote in the presidential races, and maybe if they're feeling hot that day, they might vote in the congressional race or the U.S. Senate race. You've got to go all the way down the ballot, and it's also up to us to be, all of us, to be educated voters, to try and know the issues, what matters most to us, and then find the candidates that most reflect our views on those issues, whatever's most important to us.
I hear the argument, we've got to make voting easier. And you know, somebody who wants to sit in their pajamas at 8:30 at night and vote on the computer, I guess I can understand that. But I can tell you from my experience, I've early voted every year because I have to work on Election Day, obviously, and have since I've been voting. It's so easy. You walk in, it takes 3 minutes, and how could it get any easier? I guess it can. And looking at ways to do that, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, there are people who do ask the question about will we ever have internet voting. I don't think Tennessee is ready for internet voting yet. In fact, there was something that happened, I believe it was in New York recently, where they tried to do a dry run. So, and they said, hey, we're going to have a sample election or a trial election, and we want anybody in the world to try and hack in. Well, then I believe it was within an hour, there are some students at the University of Michigan had gone in and hacked it, and every time somebody voted, it played the University of Michigan fight song. So I don't think Tennesseans are really ready to rely yet on internet voting. You know, I believe that our state legislature and our office has done a lot to make voting much easier. I mean, you've got 2 weeks of early voting. you know, extended hours in many areas. Here, your local election commission is doing a great job in trying to do outreach and making sure that people have the times and opportunities to vote. They go well beyond the three-hour minimum that the state law sets for early voting. And then it's about making sure that on election day that we have enough workers, frankly, in many cases. We need more election workers to help the Rutherford County Election Commission be able to facilitate the election in a timely fashion. Sometimes when lines bog down, it may be because you don't have enough workers. So if you're interested in working on election day, I'm not sure if Rutherford County has all the workers they need. I encourage people to contact the Rutherford County Election Commission.
To me, though, it's like you want us to do all of these things to make early voting easier, but still you only are having 10-12% come out and vote in local elections and local races. You can open as many precincts in early voting and extend hours. I know some states even have, you know, 3-4 weeks of early voting. But, you know, when you vote maybe 20 people a day, it's not cost effective.
Well, no, and I'll tell you what's going to happen at some point is you're going to have a lot of communities who say, okay, we've set up all these satellites, we've set up extended hours, and you're not using them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to come back to the state and ask the state, said, well, can you decrease the number of hours and number of days that we have to keep them open? So what we're seeing is it does make it easier. It doesn't contribute to a lot of new voters. What it is really a substitution effect. There's a lot of people who, instead of voting on election day, they simply vote early. So it doesn't necessarily, early voting doesn't necessarily drive out a lot of new voters, but it does make it more convenient.
Well, I guess I'll get off my soapbox. I mean, it's disheartening when you have, you know, 3,000 people in a community of 262,000 that are, you know, basically making the decisions on who's in office and who's not, but we all have a gripe about it.
Well, I'm reminded of a story I'd read about a lady and there was folks in Iraq, and they would walk 3 hours just to vote.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours. And it is almost too convenient. And, you know, I know Smyrna at the Rehab Center, we've had a huge turnout. Laverne Civic Auditorium, they've had a good turnout also.
Yeah, Mike, and there's people now who gripe that they have to park a little too far away from the polling place.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Iraq, they're walking 3 hours. So.
You know, I just remember the pictures of the first vote and the purple thumbs, mm-hmm. you
yep.
know, and,
exactly.
and people being threatened and people having their thumbs cut off because they voted. I just don't see that same passion. But you're doing things to try to encourage that. You're wearing a button that says I'm voting in honor of their service. Tell me a little bit about the honor vote.
Sure. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about that. It's like a lot of good ideas. It was stolen from somebody else. When I was at the National Association of Secretaries of State Conference this past year, I was visiting with the Secretary of State from Iowa, and they have an honor vote program there, and found out a few other states did. And what it does, we've created a website where you can go to govotetn.com. You can even do /honor if you want to. But if you govotetn.com, we have a banner on the left-hand side of the page. You can't miss it regarding the honor vote program. And it allows any Tennessee voter to go to that website and be able to say, I'm going to vote to honor or commemorate the service of a current or former member of the armed forces. And so you can type in your name, you'll give us your address, your email address, and you'll also give us the name of that soldier, and if you have it, their rank, their years of service. And the really cool part is we also allow you to post some type of message that, you know, is of significance to you or that person, to say, hey, I really appreciate your service in the armed forces, or, you know, I served with you in Vietnam or what have you. And it's been really heartwarming to see some of the messages that come through. And then after you post that message, we have a website. Now we have over 3,000 dedications at this point, which is pretty cool because North Carolina has had this program for a couple of years. They only have 2,500. So we've blown it out in the last two and a half weeks. And after we get your information, you post that, we send you one of these buttons that say, I'm voting in honor of their service. And we're seeing people around the state who are wearing these buttons into the polls. And it's a great reminder that the opportunity to vote, the right to vote, you know, in many cases is built on the sacrifices of these men and women who have, you know, worked so hard to serve and protect our freedom to vote. And so I had one person who emailed me one day, just shortly after we rolled out the program. They said, hey, I wasn't even sure I was going to vote, but you really have given me a reason to remember why it's so important that I go vote this time. And that's one type of message we've been getting. And it's really, really neat that people have said, this is a great opportunity for me to celebrate the service of my loved one.
And it's a reminder that, without their sacrifice, our freedom to go to the polls would not be there.
Absolutely. And so I think it has been even better received than I thought. I thought at best we might have 2,000 people who would go online and do this. And we are now, like I said, 3,000 dedications. We have people who call our toll-free number at 1-877-850-4959. If you don't have the internet, you can call our toll-free number. We'll plug in all the information for you so that you're registered, you're online, and we'll send you one of these buttons.
That is great stuff there. GoVoteTN.com.
Yes, sir.
Is where you can find it online. Talking with Secretary of State Trey Hargett today as he visits Rutherford County. Let me go back and talk a little bit about something that's been in the news here recently, and that's the voter ID law. And there was a recent decision overturned, all this kind of thing. I guess it's still kind of up in the air.
Well, right now it's in the Supreme Court's hands. You know, Senator Bill Ketchran here locally was the Senate sponsor of the photo ID law. And there are those out there who say, well, why now? Why did we pass a photo ID law now? Well, actually, Senator Bill Ketchran passed the first version of that bill in the state Senate back in 2006. So this has been around for a while. In 2011, we passed a voter ID bill that says that you need a state or federally issued photo ID to be able to go and vote. With the exception of, if you're over 60, you can go vote absentee. If you're in a hospital, nursing home, assisted living center, you can still vote absentee. And if you don't have a photo ID, you can come to vote, and you can cast what's called a provisional ballot. And then you have even 2 days after the election to bring your photo ID back to have your provisional ballot counted. Well, the city of Memphis determined earlier in the year that they were going to begin issuing photo IDs for libraries in the city of Memphis. They didn't ask our advice on that, never called us. And then after the legislative session was over and as we neared early voting, they had a big press conference, an event, and said, hey, we're going to start issuing photo library cards so people can use these to vote. Well, we had to inform them that we were not going to accept those because the legislature actually voted down an amendment. They rejected an amendment that would have allowed for local government IDs to be used.
Well, it says state and federal IDs.
It does.
Okay.
So they took us to federal court, and the city of Memphis took us to federal court. They lost. They took us to Davidson County Chancery Court. They lost again. They appealed that to the Chancery Court. The Tennessee Court of Appeals. And the Tennessee Court of Appeals came back with a decision that said the law is constitutional, because also the city of Memphis had filed suit saying that the law wasn't constitutional. The Court of Appeals said, yes, the law is constitutional, but then issued a judgment order that said that we had to accept city of Memphis library cards. Well, we have appealed that decision, or we've asked the Supreme Court to accept our appeal, and also, and not to be too technical, what's called our Rule 11 application gives us a stay on that decision. What we're doing in the meantime is, in the city of Memphis, if someone brings their ID and it's a library card and they try and vote, they cast a provisional ballot, which is the same thing that would have happened if you hadn't brought any ID in at all, with the exception of we mark the envelope to show that they brought a library card. So if the Supreme Court upholds the decision of the Court of Appeals, we'll count those provisional ballots that were marked that somebody brought a library card in. If the Supreme Court does not uphold the Court of Appeals decision, those individuals who brought in a library card as their ID have until 2 days after the November 6th election to bring back some other form of ID to have that vote counted. So, City of Memphis, people who are using a library card can vote provisionally. That's actually an absolutely illegal process that they can use. But it's also a way that if we didn't do it that way, people could go and vote on a machine, and if Supreme Court upheld it or didn't uphold the decision of the Supreme Court, we'd be faced with the fact of knowing that we had votes on those machines that were cast illegally, and there'd be no point of return, and it would cause or cast a shadow of a doubt on the election results.
Sure. Secretary of State Trey Hargett in with us. To me, I don't understand the big deal. I mean, if you've got a driver's license, it's got a photo on there. If I go and I use my credit or debit card and the cashier at Walmart asks me to show a photo ID, I show it. I don't get all bent out of shape about it. And to vote, I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand where the friction comes in.
Well, I was at the polls earlier this week, and I had in fact, the guy was a supporter of mine, and he had it kind of had an issue about the voter ID. And I said, well, I mean, you have the same argument you're making, you know. But there was a poll, I don't know if Trey has read this, it was among Republicans, I believe it was 87-89% agreed with it. Among independents, it was like 67%. And among Democrats, it was 50%. You know, I don't think there's much of an argument there at all, Brian. I haven't had, you know, I've been out there talking to people, Republicans, Democrats, independents at the polls, and not one person has mentioned that issue. Not one other than my friend who was campaigning for me and another gentleman that happened to be there. He's the only one that mentioned it.
Well, you know, my wife has a disability. She doesn't have a driver's license. She can't drive, but she has a state-issued ID because we have to have it for other things. So, I mean, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, you almost got to have one.
You do. It's really hard to be in our society without having some type of state or federally issued photo ID. And when I travel the state, after I have the opportunity to explain the law, you know, I would say that before I start talking, typically probably 3/4 of the room agrees that we need a law, and it's meant to protect the integrity of our elections. By the time I finish talking, I probably 9 out of 10 people, if not higher, agree with it because they understand that there's not some diabolical goal out there. It's just meant to preserve the integrity of our elections. And people understand now, you know, you can't hardly do anything on our side. You can't go check out a movie, you know, without a photo ID.
Yeah, well, like I told my buddy of the day, I said, you know, even if the problem was only 0.1% or 1% or 10%, you know, if we were talking about meningitis and it was 0.01%, someone would be addressing it. You know, if it was 10%, you're definitely going to address it. If it's a problem, it's a problem, and it's been proven it has been a problem.
So right now, awaiting a Supreme Court decision, which could affect how those provisional ballots are counted, whether they're counted with a library card or whether you have to bring in some other form of ID.
Right. And also, you know, depending on how that decision goes, it could say, you know, you can certainly use a library card. And in that case, if the Supreme Court says that, you know, they'll be voting on the machine after that. There'll be no more provisional balloting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it brings up an interesting bit to tackle, I guess, once the state legislature comes back into session in January.
Well, I'm certain the legislature will want to look at whatever guidance the Supreme Court gives. And I believe that the legislature thought of every possible scenario, and I don't think that any legislator in the majority of that vote thought that they were anyway voting to allow a City of Memphis library card to be able to be used. In fact, they rejected the amendment that said that a local government ID card could be used.
State or federal.
It's
even I understand it, Mike, and you know me. Well, unfortunately, our time is about run out here, and I know we had several other things to talk about, but I really feel like the integrity of voting and early voting and that all of that continues is kind of in the forefront on a lot of people's mind, obviously with over 1 million people early voting already, this year's election is really critical, but Election Day, you sometimes hear people say, well, I saw this and I saw that. Are you still doing the, you can call us and let us know if you suspect something going on at the polls?
Absolutely. The first place you should call would be your local election commission. Mm-hmm. But certainly you're welcome to call us at the same number I gave earlier, and I'll give it again. It's 1-877-850-4959. If you have concerns in any way, you know, please give us a call. We'd be glad to investigate those. I know the Rutherford County Election Commission would do the very same thing in that case. But I want to tell people, if you try and go vote and you believe that your ballot was wrong, that you've been given the wrong state house race, state senate race, what have you, do not hit the cast vote button until you're ready to have that vote cast. Because once you hit that button, it's in the machine. It's on the card, and we can't do anything about it at that point. So
it's okay to ask questions.
It's a great way to say that. You know, turn around, ask the polling official behind you, you know, said, hey, you know, I've got a problem here. Let's try and figure this out. And that's happened to me personally before, and I'm sure it's happened to others who are listening.
Well, informed voters, that's what we all need to be. Secretary of State Trey Hargett, appreciate you being here. Enjoy your time in Laverne, and you're speaking at the Laverne Rotary Luncheon today at, I guess, 12 o'clock,
12:30? 12 o'clock.
Mike, appreciate you bringing him up every now and then.
Thank you, Brian.
You don't have to bring him every time, though.
Well, he's my buddy, so I'm glad to be with him, and he lets me come hang out with him for a while. So
enjoyed our time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Secretary of State Trey Hargett joining us here in studio, and that's going to wrap up our program for today. We thank you so very much for joining us. Stay tuned. We're going to get much more on what's happening on the East Coast with Superstorm Sandy. On the Midday Report, Zach Troutman has that, along with America's Radio News. Enjoy the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on, Trick or Treat Day. Yes, it is. We'll see you then.
This is the voice of the Blue Raiders, Chip Walters, on Rutherford County's home for MTSU sports.
The Blue Raiders on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Here's Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
I would like to extend a special invitation for you to come worship with us. We're an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Southern Baptist church, teaching Christ Jesus as the Lord and ascending.